Thank you very much for the band, for just a special time in worship. We really appreciate it. Welcome, everyone, to those whom I haven't seen. While we are still in an attitude of worship, and welcome, everyone, and before I start with my sermon for today, I just want to respond to something that the Lord laid on my heart actually a few weeks ago, but I feel today is also just the opportunity for that. So, I just want to ask if there's anyone here who you're the owner of a small business, or you've started a business, or you're part of a small business, or someone close to you is doing a small business or anything like that. I think all jobs are special, but I think there's just really something that the Lord just wants to release. It's just a blessing. So can you maybe just raise your hand, or if thank you. But keep your hands raised, please. I just want to take the time to pray for you guys, for your businesses. I just feel God, there's something the Lord wants to do. So what I'm going to ask is look around. So if someone close to you has their hand up, huddle around, find a person or a business person to pray for, that we maybe just extend our hands to those. So you can now get off your seat if you want and get to someone. We're going to pray for you. No, someone must pray for Gerald at the back as well, or we'll pray for Janine on Gerald's behalf. If you can just find it there. So I'll share a bit of what's on my heart, and then I'm going to leave you to pray for the people, and I'll also end up for us. But I think the Lord just... I think sometimes we underappreciate how much effort goes into making something successful that you've started in a small business. There's so much more that goes in, and I think sometimes it's difficult just to switch off. I think some of us who work for big corporates, you've got your 8 to 5, but there's a lot that goes into it, and sometimes a big part of your heart as well, a big passion. And I guess sometimes, especially towards the end of the year, people can get tired, but we're not going to focus on that. I really just want to, I want you to speak life over that person and over their venture, this thing that they are doing. Bless it. Any word that the Lord has laid on your heart, or as you are praying that the Lord lays on your heart, just pray for that person into their business. It means jobs for future people. There's so much that the Lord also wants to do in our country through small businesses. And I think there's a real special anointing on those people. So, I just want to stretch out your hands and please do pray for those people. I'll give some time for that, and then afterwards I'll also just end off. Yes, Lord God. You know, we thank you, Lord God, that you are our provider, Lord God. Thank you that you are the God of heaven and earth, Lord God. And, you know, Lord, I thank you for each one of your children, Lord God, and even those who are representing someone else, Lord God, you know, who are taking that leap of entrepreneurship, Lord God. And, you know, we really have that bravery, Lord God, to follow that dream, to follow that passion, Lord God. And thank you, Lord, that it's something that you've birthed in them many moons ago, Lord God, already. And how you are so proud of them, Lord God, and how you are walking beside them, Lord God. And, you know, Lord, maybe today's word of being still and knowing that you are God is, you know, rings so true, Lord God, where often there are many, many challenges faced, Lord God. But I just want to pray this over every person, Lord God, over every business, especially those who are in leadership, Lord God, to be able to have those quiet times before you, Lord God, knowing that you are their provider, Lord. You are the one who fights their battles. You are the one who meets their needs, Lord God. And yes, Lord God, where people, there might be people who are really just trusting for rain, and maybe not physical rain, Lord God, but even just that provision, Lord God, that provision that they cannot provide for themselves, Lord God. And where people might have ground that is very dry, Lord God, where they're just experiencing dryness, or where they're planting crops and it's just not coming up, Lord God. And, you know, where maybe we're just talking about ideas that are just not coming to fruition, Lord God. I really pray that you will send the rain, Lord God, in the right time, Lord God, that you will, and that you will keep them, Lord God, during the times of the drought, Lord God, that you will keep their minds, you know, just at peace, Lord God. But we pray, Lord God, that you will send forth your rain, Lord God. We pray your blessing, Lord God, and we pray abundance, Lord God. I just want to pray, Lord God, that you will really, you know, there where they seek you, Lord God, and bring these things before you, Lord, that you will come and bless their businesses, Lord God, where they care about the people in the businesses, those who are employed, Lord God, that you will continue that provision, Lord God, that there will be provision for future generations to come, Lord God. And we pray, Lord God, that what is established now, Lord God, or what is being established, Lord God, that it may last, Lord God, long beyond the founders, Lord God, that it may, you know, really, you know, just be something that is impactful for generations to come, Lord God. We thank you, Lord God, and I just want to say yes and amen to every prayer that was prayed, Lord God. Thank you, Lord, that you know each person intimately, Lord God. You know, where their heart is at, and thank you that you see them, Lord God, and that you are proud of them. We just speak your blessing over every one of them, over their families, Lord God, their businesses and the families that are represented. We thank you, Lord, also that you care. Thank you, you know, that you care enough to take the time, Lord God, to also just speak to them, to encourage them, to bless them. And may they also just in the week, Lord God, be nurtured by your word, Lord God. Just hear that words of affirmation again. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Cool. Thank you very much, everyone. Morning, Cornelia, you're helping with it. Thank you very much. Thank you. all right, so this morning, like I said, I am excited to share a short message around tithes and offerings. I know we normally have a message in front, but I think the Lord laid something on my heart, which I'm excited to share with you today. Let me also start by praying. Yes, Lord God, thank you again for this time together, Lord God, and thank you for every person that is here, Lord God, big or small. Thank you that you love everyone here, Lord God. I pray, Lord God, that the words, Lord God, that that I share today, Lord God, will be the words that are on your heart, Lord God, not in my mind or anything of that, Lord, but that it really may be from your heart, Lord God, and may be a blessing unto every person that is here, Lord God. I thank you, Lord Holy Spirit, just for your leading and your guidance. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So a week or two ago, Adon spoke about quality streets and having everyone having favorites, and I thought that was such a cool analogy. I'll remember it forever. So today I'm going to start out with one of my favorite scriptures. I guess if it goes according to quality streets, I probably like more than half of the pack a lot. So if that is anything to go by, you will bless me with a lot of those options. I guess as it is with the word, but there is a specific scripture which I get excited when I read, and it's Psalm 51. But before we read, I'll give a bit of context. So we all know David is a man after God's own heart, and so apologies if I do look at the time today. I need to make sure that I that we can all go home at a reasonable time. Anyways, so David is a man after God's own heart. We know he did many amazing things, but unfortunately he did have a blunder somewhere in his life, as we all do because we're human. But he coveted another man's wife, and in fact he actually killed that man and took the lady for himself as his wife. So he basically committed adultery. And then Nathan the prophet came to David and he confronted him and said, "Well, this is what you did." And David, being a man after God's own heart, sincerely repented. He really was sorry for what he did. And Psalm 51 is the psalm that he wrote after. So in that period of repentance, it's the psalm that he wrote after he did this massive sin that the whole world or kingdom could see, and he was convicted. But this is his response. And so we can read at verse 16. "For you do not delight in sacrifice, or I would give it. You will not be pleased with a burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, you will not despise." 16 and 17. And so what David is saying here is, he knows that the ritual he needs to go through for repentance is to go and do these offerings. But in his heart he's saying, "God, I could go to the temple and do these offerings, but have no change of heart, and that would mean nothing." So what he's saying here is, I know it's not about that offering. I know it's not about the thing that I'm going to do in the temple. You, God, are interested in my heart. So in verse 17, where it says, "a broken and contrite heart," it really means a heart that not only does the ritual, but that sincerely, genuinely, in their heart, in his case, is sorry. "Lord, I'm sorry for what I did." I put in verse 18 and 19, where he says, "Do good in Zion, in your good pleasure, build up the walls of Jerusalem. Then you will delight in right sacrifices, in burnt offerings, in whole burnt offerings. Then bulls will be offered on your altar." So I put that there just to show that David, he's still going to go and do the offerings. It's not that he says it's irrelevant, but what he's highlighting is that the heart with which you do this is the important thing. And so today, maybe firstly I'll say, this is a scripture that I've carried with me throughout my Christian walk. It's meant so much to me whenever I'm coming before God and often just evaluating, I'm going to do something for you now. I'm going to enter into worship. I'm going to serve, or I'm going to do all of these things, which are good things. But I often also just ask God to, or I at least try and evaluate where my heart is at. In the same way that David could just go and do an offering but really not be sorry, God is looking at what is going on the inside. It's not about the physical. So today we're going to speak about tithes and offerings. And a bit of a spoiler alert is that this is the theme of the message, is that it's not about what you put into the bag. It is about what's in the heart. But I'm going to show you, and I'm going to take you through some scriptures to just show that and illustrate that. So the first scripture is in Mark chapter 12. And again, before we read, one of the big themes in Mark is this theme of discipleship. So you'll often see Jesus teaching his disciples something, showing them the way of the kingdom, showing them what God's heart is really about. Thank you, Devanisha. And here is an example. So we read in Mark chapter 12, verse 41. And he sat down opposite the treasury and watched the people putting money into the offering box. Many rich people put in large sums, and a poor widow came and put in two small copper coins, which make a penny. And he called his disciples to him and said to them, "Truly I say to you, this poor widow has put in more than all those who are contributing to the offering box. For they all contributed out of their abundance, but she out of her poverty, and has put in everything she had, all she had to live on." So first thing that stood out to me is Jesus came into the temple, and he probably knew what was going to happen that day. He knew there was an opportunity to teach, because he actually went to sit right opposite the treasury. So he knew today was an opportunity. The weekly ritual was going to play out as it always does. But he almost says to his disciples, "Gather around. I'm going to show you something." And we see here that what plays out is two groups of people. So you have rich people coming and putting in large sums of money, and then we have the widow who brings a small contribution, very, very small. And this is where Jesus wants to teach them something. I think I've got a next slide which you can go to. There we go. Thank you. So the lesson that Jesus is teaching his disciples here is that we as people maybe look at this this offering, this sacrifice, through human eyes. And we say, "Oh, wow, look how much these people are contributing to the kingdom of God. Big sums of money. Must be amazing. Now they can build a fancy temple. Or now they can whatever, whatever." And they would gloss over the small amount. But Jesus is teaching them to look with different eyes. He says, how does God see what is playing out here? God does not look at the amount that is put in. How do we know this? Because he says, this widow has put in more than all of these people. So obviously, by human terms, she did not put in more. She put in a penny. They put in a lot of money. But if she put in more, there obviously is a different measuring system. God measures differently. And so the clue that we see is in verse 44, where Jesus says, "For they," this is the rich people, "all contributed out of their abundance." So they had a lot to give. So for them, it was easy to give. It was easy to give a large sum because they still had a lot left. In fact, it probably did not affect what they were going to eat that evening or whatever else they wanted to do with their money. It did not affect their provision that much. It was easy for them to give. Whereas the widow gave out of her poverty, and she gave everything she had. She gave her next meal and everything thereafter, completely putting her trust in God. And what Jesus is highlighting here is, what is in your heart when you are giving? I almost want to say, how much trust is there when you are giving? So forget about the amount. Forget about big bag of money, small bag of money, what it is. Forget about what you're going to put in the thing. Have a conversation between you and God about where is your heart at? And what he's pointing out is, look at this widow's faith. She gave from her poverty, but she gave so much more because she trusted so much more. It cost her so much to give so much. But what is so beautiful is that place of trust. And it's not to say that, okay, now you must go empty your bank account and give it. But Jesus is really saying that this is precious. If someone can trust God so much, this is worth way more in the kingdom than people who give out of their abundance, which is also good. It's not a bad thing. But he's just saying there's something precious here. Something in her heart is really precious, and he wants to show us that, or show his disciples, and so that we can also learn. So that's the first scripture that we're going to look at. And already you can start thinking about when it is your opportunity to give. And we're thinking of the first part of David speaking about there's something physically that you need to do, but where is your heart at? And in the same way, when we're giving, first consider, what is your attitude towards God when it comes towards finances? I want to share a second story, and now we're going to look at the life of Abraham. I'll give a bit of context before we go through the scripture itself. But the story is about the first person in the Bible who actually gave money towards God or towards a priest. So this is the first place in the Bible where someone actually gives a tenth. And we're gonna look at the context of the story. So just a bit of background, and I think I'll maybe just cover it verbally. We don't have to read it all, but we're going to be in Genesis 14. Hold on. 14, yes. Thank you. So we know we've got Abraham and his brother's son, Lot. They live together, and then... at some point, they had to separate ways because their flock became too much. And Abraham said to Lot, you can choose wherever you want to live. Lot went his way. He settled in Sodom. And Abraham went the other way. But then as time transpired, there where Lot was living, there was a rebellion. There were four kings who fighted against five kings. The five kings were Lot's area, and the four kings were, let's say, the enemies. So the four kings came, and they basically defeated Sodom and Gomorrah and all of the other five kings, and they captured the people, and they took them hostage, basically. So they took them, all of their possessions, and they took them away. But a messenger escaped, and he went to Abraham. And he told Abraham, look, your people are being taken captive. So Abraham gathers everyone who's ready for war, and he pursues these four kings. So, just give me a sec. So Abraham pursues the four kings, and he actually defeats them, and he rescues Lot and all of the people who were captured, all of the possessions, and he brings it back. And we're going to continue reading from verse 17. So Abraham has come back now, and we read, and I'll just pinpoint who are the people so that you can connect the dots. After his return from the defeat of Chedorlaomer and the kings who were with him, so that's the enemy, the king of Sodom went out to meet him in the valley of Shaveh. So Sodom is, I guess, the guys who were taken captive. That is the king's valley. And Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought out bread and wine. So Melchizedek is not part of any of those kings. He is, and I'll explain a bit now, but he's a separate king who happened to arrive on the scene. He was priest of God Most High. And he blessed him, Abraham, and said, "Blessed be Abraham by God Most High, possessor of heaven and earth. And blessed be God Most High, who delivered your enemies into your hand." And Abraham gave him a tenth of everything. Okay, quickly jump to giving a tenth, but let's just slowly talk through what is happening here. Firstly, because I really enjoy discovering little gems in the Bible, in the story there is one, and it's about Melchizedek, so allow me to sidestep for a little bit, tell you something about Melchizedek, and then we're going to get back to the story, because this got me very excited. So, who is Melchizedek? He's this king that arrives. He's not part of the four or of the five kings who were fighting. He just came in afterwards. Melchizedek, very little is written about him in the Bible. So he appears here, and then nothing else about his life is written. There's a reference again in the Psalms, and then later in the book of Hebrews. They refer to him. So very little is known about him, but he makes an appearance. But I want to show you a couple of things about Melchizedek. And so here's the, again, the spoiler. He's actually a person who lived that actually his life really points forward towards Jesus. So this is a common theme in the Old Testament where there's some story playing out, some person, but there's a lot of similarities between them and Jesus, and often just points forward. It's almost like a bit of a prophecy. So Melchizedek. His name, the name Melchizedek, means King of Righteousness. So we know that Jesus is the King of Righteousness. His job, what he actually did, was he was the King of Salem, which the Salem is, that's very small, refers to Jerusalem, so King of Jerusalem. But the word Salem is related to the word Shalom, which means peace in Hebrews. So he's also the King of Peace. So King of Salem, he's King of Righteousness, King of Peace. And look at this. He's also the priest of the Most High God. Yes. And what is unique here is that he is a priest and a king. Who else is a king and a priest? We know this is Jesus. In those days, you were either a king or a priest. He's both. And this is my favorite part. What does he bring to celebrate the fact that everyone's back, that Lot has been rescued? He brings them a meal. What does he bring? Bread and wine. How amazing is this? Anyways, that's for free. It got me really excited to things like this, where you're reading the Old Testament. It's a story. It's a real person. It happened, but it just points forward thousands of years to what's going to come. For those who are interested in a bit more, I can tell you a bit more about the connections between him and Jesus, but we'll leave that for after the sermon. You're welcome to come and chat to me. But you can go and read Psalm 110 and Hebrews 7 for those who are interested in a bit of Bible study. All right, but now we're getting back to the happenings. So what happened there? So let's look at Melchizedek, who is the priest. He's the king of Jerusalem, but he's also the priest. And we see that he blesses Abraham. So we're going to have a look at that. Cornelia, would you mind going back one to where we can see this part? Thank you. In verse 19 and 20. So, and he blesses Abraham and said, "Blessed be Abraham by God Most High, possessor of heaven and earth. And blessed be God Most High, who has delivered your enemies into your hand." And after this, Abraham gave him a tenth of everything. But let's just pause there on and look at what is it that Melchizedek is saying. So firstly, he's saying that Abraham is blessed by God. So God blesses Abraham. This is a declaration that he's making. The next one he's saying is God possesses heaven and earth. God created everything, and everything on this earth belongs to God. This is relevant because Abraham actually came back with a lot of possessions now from that other country. He went and won a war, and he came back with lots of spoils. But here's a declaration that everything belongs to God. He also blesses God. Because God is worthy to be praised and blessed. And lastly, he says that, Abraham, you have received a victory now. You've won a big war. You've basically defeated four kings. But who gave you this victory? God gave you this victory. And so now we turn, or let me rather say, from this declaration, Abraham's immediate response is, I'm going to give you a tenth. I'm giving this to the priest of God. So maybe let's turn to Abraham and think about what is in Abraham's heart, because we can see what he's doing on the outside, but maybe let's look at what's on the inside. So firstly, Abraham responding in this way, him giving this tenth, firstly, is like saying, I agree with everything that you have said. Melchizedek, you said these things, and I completely agree with it. And he's responding in that way. So it's an agreement or declaration that what you have said is completely true. God is God. He owns everything. He's the one who provides for me. He gave me this victory. So those are the things that Abraham firmly believes. He firmly believes that those things that Melchizedek said is true. It's almost like me, an example I'll use is, sometimes you are in worship. So we're in a worship service, and the band up front is singing a song, and suddenly there are those words that really just resonate in your spirit. You might be singing of God's holiness, or God as a good father, or God as a provider. And I don't know about you, but sometimes something happens and it's just, in my mind and in my heart, I completely agree. And what do I always do? It's a physical response. I put up my hands and I say, yes, Lord, I agree with this. Or I go down on my knees, Lord, this is so true. It's a physical response to just a truth in your heart. And this is what Abraham is doing here. It's a physical response to something that's in his heart to say, yes, Lord, you are my provider. You own everything on this earth. Everything that I've accumulated to date came from you. This victory that I just got is not because I'm amazing or my guys are strong. It's because you gave it to me. So firstly, he declares that this is true. He declares that I firmly believe this. And then secondly, he goes into action. And from that place, he gives. He's got a generous heart, he gives. But I think why this is especially noticeable for me is that all of these declarations that he's agreeing with are things that also relate to his provision. It relates to what God is giving. So maybe in a worship service, I would put up my hand, but this is so special. It is him saying, all of these material things, Lord, you own firstly. You are God, and you have given it to me. Therefore, I gladly give it back. And this is the heart that is demonstrated at the first point in the Bible where anyone gives anything to a priest. And we know that the priests also in the long run represents God's temple, God's work on the earth. And only much later did the laws come in about giving tithes, giving offerings, etc. But here we see that first example. And what is so beautiful for me is where it is birthed. It's not birthed in, no one told Abraham to do this. No one said, Abraham, this is what the law says, you must do it. It's a response in his heart to God's provision, God's goodness. So in that lies an invitation, and I want us to reflect on this. And I'm actually okay if you switch it off. I've subsequently decided I'll just speak about this part. We don't have to read. But if we now bring it back to our hearts or where we are now, thousands of years later, we are in God's church, but God still looks at our hearts. He's still interested in our hearts when it comes to giving. And similar to David, it's not about the physical thing that you do. Because like we saw, God owns everything. He's way more interested in our hearts. And again, well, let me first say, he's way more interested in to what degree do we believe that God is the one who provides for us. So before you do anything physical, start where Abraham started. Start with this declaration, an agreement with this declaration. Start by saying, God is God. God owns everything on this earth. Everything that I have, he gave to me. Whether it be your salary or your abilities or whether someone gave something to you, whatever it is, what has what you've received in the past, what you will receive in the future, it all is from God. And I want to encourage us when the offering bag does come around today, it really is not about what is in the physical, but speak to God, rather use the opportunity to speak to God about that place of the heart. And the invitation that I do want to leave with us, and it's not on the screen, but in Hebrews chapter 4, we're reminded that we can come with confidence to the throne room of grace. So if you're sitting here today and you're feeling like, oh my goodness, I really don't feel like this. Like my heart is nowhere near Abraham's heart or the widow's heart. That's okay. God is not just asking us another ritual. Don't let getting your heart in place be the next ritual. Say, God, my heart is far from that. I'm really worried. I struggle to believe that you are my provider, if that is your reality. Come with confidence to God and ask him for grace. Say, God, I see these examples, but my heart's nowhere near. When I look at tithing or offering, my mind goes to a million different places, but help me to quiet my soul and to know that you are the possessor of heaven and earth, that you love me dearly, that in the same way that God provides for the birds of the air and the lilies of the field, how much more will he not provide for you? Matthew chapter 6. Start with that conversation, and even if your heart is far from that, ask God to help you in that. So I'm going to end there. I'm going to ask if a member of the band can maybe just make a little bit of background music for us, please. So today, I think first, just I'm going to give an opportunity, just a few. I'm just going to give some time for you to first just speak to God about where your heart is towards him. If you already trust him, praise him for that. If you want to trust him more, ask him for that. If you are so anxious that you can't even ask that, ask him to help you to get there sometime. But just be honest with God about that. I really feel that God wants to heal something in our hearts around how we think about his provision and also the relationship of money with the church and all of that. So I'm going to end off for us with a prayer. Then I'm just going to give a few minutes for everyone just to speak to God, and then we will pass around the offering bags. There's no obligation to give. If anything, use it as an opportunity to speak with God, although you are welcome to put something in. Lord God, thank you, Lord, that you love us so dearly. Thank you, Lord, that each one of us are your children, Lord God. And, oh Lord, we come and honor you, Lord God, as the possessor of heaven and earth. Lord, and today I ask, Lord, that you will come and help each one of us, Lord God. Help us to get past the barriers that we may have in our hearts or in our minds as it relates to our own finances, Lord God, or the finances of the kingdom. Help us firstly, Lord God, to be still and to know all of the truths about who you are. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that you did not come just to bring more rituals, Lord God, but that you really sincerely want to heal our hearts, Lord God, and show us the way to life, Lord God. And we ask that you will do exactly that. We praise you and we honor you and we thank you. Amen.
Amen. Yeah, you know, when Theo was ministering, he just reminded me of something that I've been reflecting on since yesterday. So I was driving to the mall. Then usually when I see the car guards, I just go like, just need my money. And the Lord spoke these words in my heart and said, let's take that car guard comes to your church. You are singing in front, busy. Will they still see the same person they saw there? Because he said, my love should be seen through your love for other people as well. And for me, when it comes to giving, it's something that I've been lacking on. And I think today when you are ministering, I think, like, okay, now God is really speaking to me and say, you have to improve in your level of giving. Because I believe there are certain things that I would like to call love indicators, or the indicators of our level of love for God. Number one is our level of obedience. Number two is our love for other people. Number three is our level of giving. The Bible says, for God so loved the world. He had so much love for the world. For the world, And what did this love cause him to do? That he gave. And that's a message that God has been speaking in my heart since yesterday, to say, your love for me must cause you to do something. If your love for me don't cause you to do anything, it's either it's too shallow or it's non-existent. So thank you so much, Theo. I'm challenged.
I am very challenged.
Thank you. Thank you, Ernest. Thank you for sharing. Cool. All right. I'm going to pray for us in closing. Lord God, thank you very much, yeah, that we can just be reminded once again that we are your children, Lord God, and that you love us so dearly. Thank you that you provide for us in so many ways, Lord God, more than just finances, Lord God, in our everything we need, Lord God. You gave us life and life in abundance. Oh, Lord, may, you know, as Ernest shared now, Lord God, may our hearts really overflow, Lord God, with what we have received, Lord God. May it bubble up inside of us, Lord God, this love for you and the love for the world. We thank you for this, Lord God, and I just want to pray your blessing over everyone who is here and even those who cannot be here. I pray that you will, you know, keep us safe and be with us during this week. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.